Dan Miller is of the neighbor, the Summerstrand neighborhood watch out in Gqeberha in the Eastern Cape. They too have been doing it for themselves, fixing their neighborhoods. But Ian, you want to take us on a different route. You want to talk to us about how do you hold your municipality accountable and how do you start making them aware that by saying, Keiki, here is an issue here in our community that you should have the responsibility to fix. If you don't, we'll take it upon ourselves. But firstly, your thoughts on what the community, what Johan Grabie's community has been doing out there in the Northern Cape in the Namakwa district, but also the threats that they've been receiving under police guard, being told to stop fixing their community. Your thoughts and good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lester. And to Johan Kraber. And he has got my deepest sympathies for the problems he's facing, which is not quite what we've been having at all. So a big difference. And I think when you start talking about some rural muni out there and a big metro like Gqeberha, you have got quite a difference in a number of ways. So I can't prescribe to him anything other than at this point, having listened to him, a large degree of sympathy. I would like to tell you where we're at, and people can draw their own views. I think I don't want to traverse the discussion on why municipalities are failing. I think most of us all know that. If we don't, then we've got a serious problem. And the reason for poor delivery, and it's not just COVID, that's one of the reasons. But COVID has brought about a whole lot of changes in our society. Bad behavior, for one, amongst people on the beachfront and all over. They've lost the plot. And then we start talking about policing visibility. None. And that's causing a problem because it's not dealing with bad behavior, human behavior. So what has happened in this period of COVID, and I suspect just before then, is it's like something out of a fairy book. Everything's gone quiet. The castle in the bush has been overgrown. Everything is now covered up, and it's hard to get everybody back out there and get back to work because they haven't been at work. Working from home is a wonderful thing, but they haven't been back at work per se.
Have you had any luck of in your teaching communities and the people of Gqeberha on how to knock on the door of the council of the municipality? My thought has always been get to know who your ward councillor is, because that is your first point of call. Even before you call the helpline number, if you have a relationship with the ward councillor, who should, and know that it's not always the case, and it's a problem with our electoral system in that your ward councillor doesn't have to live in your ward, but the first point of call would be hello, or not knock knock, ring ring, hello my ward councillor, there's a problem where I live.
Well, let me take a step back for a moment so that you've got a picture of where we're at. We're in a fairly reasonable suburb compared to the rural area. Okay, it's a very lucky, fortunate suburb in terms of what's living around there. And we have a big university in our area as well, and that brings its own different problems with students and behavior as they live in some of the residences in town, in our area. Our motto, we've been going for a year as a neighborhood watch. We've got 225 members, 646 residents on our crime watch, and we have 3,500 on Summerstrand Connect. We cover an area of about 8 square kilometers, and we have 12,600 people living in this community from the beachfront backwards towards the airport. Our motto is together we are stronger, together as a community, and together with our alliance partners. Our alliance partners, touching on what you said just now, knocking on doors. We, as a neighborhood watch, which happens throughout the country, we report through a police forum. Okay, you can't just set up a neighborhood watch and do your own thing. So we report to a provincial CPF, a cluster CPF, and a humid policing forum. They are our one lot of, let's call it, alliance partners. TACNET, the poaching guys, are another alliance partner. And when I say alliance partner, I'm saying people we can phone, people we can visit, people we can talk to. So a network, okay? We have the Municipal Land Invasion Unit we can talk to and use. The Cleansing and Sanitation Department we use. We have no problems. The City Ranger, for all the dumping that's going on, we use. And, of course, the ambulance and fire, they have to be. The Electricity Department, with the stealing of cables and power lines are going down. In our suburb, they went down for a week through vandalism and theft. And the Water Department. So, yes, if you're not networking and you're not stepping out and you're not reaching out, then you're not able to let people know, you know, these are our real problems over here, for the John, Mac, Sabuka, whoever. Can you please help us? This is what we're doing. We've done the painting of roads in our area in the middle of COVID. We had no problems at all in doing it. We did potholes, not an awful lot, but they were a lot. But we did a number, and then the Muni came in and they did. So we've never just been told, no, you can't. I think when we say together we can, together we're stronger, we're saying you and I can make a difference.
It's about civic engagement, and many people are loath to get involved in party politics. But I believe a certain level of civic engagement, community engagement, whether you're on a CPF, whether you're on a anti-litter campaign and you go about your direct street or neighborhood with a black bag, is a form of civic/political engagement. And we mustn't be shy about that, I believe.
Yes. Lester, to maybe drive a case in point on what you've just mentioned, if you know Port Elizabeth, we have this long beachfront area from King's Beach all the way to our eastern side, to Pollock Beach. And along that route, there must be 10 change rooms, toilet facilities, showers, etc. These have been vandalized, and the homeless have pulled out every pipe, every copper, every single thing you can think of. So we will go and talk to the head of the beaches in September and say, tourism is happening here, and my God, when people are on the beach and they need to go, where are they going? And that you're being warned now. Can you help? Can you put a plan on the table? And nothing happened. Okay. And before the December visitors arrive, I took it. It's something the trade union movement teaches us, I guess. Hey, if you're not getting somewhere and you've been talking about it, put it in the public domain. And so the whole headline of the newspaper, the Weekend Post, that Saturday said, Port Elizabeth beaches are being threatened. They're finished. They're really under the whip. That whole headline. Now, that still didn't get guys moving. But on the other hand, can you start doing all the repairing when you haven't put other things in place to deal with the vandalism of the homeless who are living in the bushes around us? Like, I believe you've got the same problems in Cape Town. So now we're talking to people there to say, how do we deal with that issue first so we can safeguard whatever changes go on in the beachfront so it doesn't get all stolen again? So we will go and put it in the public domain if you refuse to listen.
Well, Ian Miller, thanks so much for giving us a really great community involvement perspective. Really, really appreciate it. Are you part of a community that's fulfilling municipal roles, state roles by yourselves? Let me know. 021-446-0567.